Hi guys, I'm Matt Harris, host of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. And in this episode of the podcast, Jamie, Steve and I celebrate our 1 year anniversary. That's right. The HMO Experience Property Podcast has been running for exactly 1 year. And we want to thank all of you, our listeners, for supporting us along the way, giving us some amazing feedback about the podcast. And in recognition of that, we're going to do three things in this episode. First off, I'm going to start by breaking down the previous 52 episodes into 12 sections that you can scroll through in the descriptions and pick and choose the episodes that are best suited to wherever you are in your property investing journey right now. Those sections include getting started on your HMO property investing journey, buying HMOs, rent to rent, funding finance and investors, and also handy apps that you can use within your HMO property business right now. Then we go into Steve, Jamie, and I identifying our best bits from the last 52 episodes before we answer a few questions that you guys in the HMO Experience community submitted to us over the last few weeks. And then we end on two amazing opportunities that you guys have got this week, starting from today, to take advantage of. The first is if you subscribe to our YouTube channel, taking advantage of the free anniversary bundle of resources that we will send to everyone who subscribes from our to our YouTube channel between now and the 22nd of November. The second great opportunity is that we will hold a mastermind session for five lucky listeners on the basis that you subscribe to the podcast, send us a screenshot to your subscription to our Facebook page, the HMO Experience Property Podcast, and we will pick five winners on Wednesday, the 18th of November via Facebook Live on the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page, where we will announce those five winners and they will get a free mastermind session with Jamie, Steve and I, 1 hour. Everything is open. Everything and anything can be asked. We want to offer that opportunity as a big fat thank you for you guys, all of our listeners, for supporting us over the last year. So hopefully you will enjoy the show and make sure you take advantage of the two amazing opportunities. Now that's enough of me. Let's get into the anniversary edition. Hi guys, it's episode 53 of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. I am Matt Harris. Say hello to Jamie Medill. Say hello, Jamie.
Hi everyone, great to have you here.
And Steve, football commentator Mitchell. Say hello, Steve.
Welcome from Anfield.
guys, a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated our 50th episode, which went nicely with Jamie's book launch, The HMO Blueprint. If you haven't got it, make sure you get it. Head over to Amazon, download it, buy it, share your purchase. There's still some bonus giveaways that are available, so make sure you head over to that. But we are on episode 53. It is exactly a year to the day, almost, that we launched the HMO Experience Property Podcast. So we thought we would, obviously, in line with it being an anniversary edition, do something a little bit special. Just to give you a little recap of, I guess, the previous 52 episodes. So to break those down a little bit, then we're going to talk about our best bits. We've all picked two or three best bits from those episodes. And then we're just giving away more stuff for you lot, for you listening and tuning in every week. And just as a big fat thank you for helping us get to this point in the HMO Experience Property Podcast. So before we crack on with that, Jamie, Steve, you guys got anything to add, as this is our anniversary edition? Tell our listeners how excited we've been about recording all these episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's been obviously an unusual first year, but it's been brilliant to get here. And the feedback we're getting, I just want to say a couple of things first. Really, the first is to say a huge thank you to everyone that does subscribe. We get loads of feedback and messages on all of our social handles about the podcast. We've also had some great testimonials, some people saying not only rating what they think about it, but how it's helped them, which is really cool. That's why we do this stuff. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, it's been a lot more fun from a personal point of view doing this with Steve and Matt. If I'd done it by myself, I would have got bored of my own voice by now. It's great to have the three HMO Amigos involved. It's much more fun.
Ah, HMO Amigos. I like that.
Steve-o, oh, God, that's a new hashtag.
Tell us the view from Anfield.
It's been great fun. I think I tend to like being in the background, so doing this type of thing, I'm like a fish out of water. It's not my usual habitat, but it's nice when you talk to people and they go, oh, you look a lot younger in the flesh than you do on screen. So I've got me a fairy beard on at the moment. And nice. I just not microphone, so Brian Moore will have a go at me. Sorry, Brian. It's been good fun. But the most, I think, for me, the most important thing is helping people with either questions, or if they've got some problems, or providing a different perspective and viewpoint on all stuff HMO.
Yeah, for sure. So, and that's a nice little segue into this next bit. So if you're a new listener, you're tuning in today, episode 53, I'm just going to give you a little breakdown as to if you're thinking of starting your HMO journey, or you've only just started, you need a little bit more guidance. Let me just break down what the previous 52 episodes have been about into relevant sections. You'll see the episodes for the sections that I'm going to reel off in a second in the show notes, so you can refer to those and obviously listen back to those to help you along your HMO journey. So I have categorized the previous 52 episodes into 12 sections. It could have been a lot more, but then I would have just been repeating each episode, so there's no point in that. I've kept it to 12 in no particular order. So the 12 sections are funding, finance, and working with investors, marketing for landlords and tenants. If you're into buying HMOs, there we've covered off a few episodes on that. Obviously, rent to rent, handy apps that you can use within your HMO property business, systems, processes, and inspections. Getting started, if you are new to the podcast and this is the first time you've tuned in, then definitely head back to episodes 1, 2, and 3. They're the sort of the foundation of the podcast, and everything leads on from there. Section 8 is maintenance. Then we've covered off some bits on rent payment, rent arrears and evictions, customer or tenant onboarding, furniture and design, and property onboarding and setup. So those are the 12 sections. As I said, in the show notes, you'll see the relevant episodes categorized as well. So make sure you, whichever bit is relevant to you right now, head back, listen to those episodes. Let us know what you think. Let us know if we haven't covered off something that you have a question about, or that you're stuck on, or even better, head over to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page, ping us a message, or leave us a comment on the YouTube channel against the relevant episode. And let us know if there's something that we've missed that we haven't covered that we can cover in a future episode. It'd be super useful. So hopefully that helps. Now, we got some best bits. So we recorded 52 episodes. That's a load of hours of the three of us chatting about HMO. And in line with that, we thought we would pick our favorite bits from those 52 episodes. So I will hand you over to Jamie to lead off his favourites episode bits from the last 50 episodes. Jamie, over to you.
No problem. Cheers, Matt. Thank you for that. So best bits. When Matt and Steve said to me, choose some best bits, I thought that's a call. The problem was all the best bits I chose were more to do with us laughing at each other and probably with each other rather than actually useful content. So I'm going to disregard all the laughy bits. Where we take the mick out of each other mercilessly and all that. So I'm actually going to go and focus on the content, which is probably more useful for this episode for those of you listening and watching. So the first thing that I picked up on, assuming that people listening or subscribing to this podcast have never, ever done anything at all with HMOs before, they might just be dabbling or thinking about it and doing some research. The first episode I picked out, which I really liked, was episode 3. And the title of that episode is, what are the four key things you need to know about HMOs? Mm. So in essence, what are the key things you need to know before making a decision to either get into this strategy? And you know the two key strategies we talk about on HMOs, it's either buying the things, renovating them, renting them out, so you own it, or of course it's rental HMO. We don't own it, but you control it and you get the income. So we covered, so episode three, four things you need to know. And some of the key points, we're going to have a clip after me talking in a minute on some of these tips. But I was talking about, you know, tips on how to buy properties, what to look for in a certain area, tips on how to add value to those properties, also tips on how to get your properties filled quickly, also using and working with other people's money so you can build or scale a portfolio quicker and faster without you having to fund it. So those are just some of the things that I covered. I also covered in some of those tips, if you're thinking about buying, how you can add value to then refinance, how much money you could pull out potentially. So again, if you are just thinking about HMOs, episode three, titled The Four Things You Must Know About HMOs, will be invaluable for you. And if you're already doing HMOs, you want a bit of a refresher, again, definitely go and check out episode three.
£130,000 to £150,000 mark. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, we're typically buying three bed houses. They could be terrace houses or semi-detached houses. We are fundamentally changing those in the refurb. Mm-hmm. We're making those into five or six bedroom professional HMOs with ensuite bathrooms. But the key thing here is twofold. One is we don't put any of our own cash into these properties. We're raising finance from JV partners mm-hmm. to invest with us. But we're also, and I'll give you some examples of a recent property of ours in a minute, but we are also, because we're refurbishing the property, we're raising the value of that property mm. because it's now become a commercial property as we're renting it out by the room and there's now a license, an HMO license on that property. So it's not a standard residential house anymore. Mm. What does that mean? That means then if we're looking to refinance that property, we've increased the value, which means we can refinance the property at the end value, whatever the commercial surveyor tells us it is, mm. and take out up to 75% mortgage of that new value. Now that has helped us take out pretty much all, or certainly most of the money. So we're not in the situation that Steve found himself in, with leaving 70 grand in a property, because that's yeah. a big old chunk of cash. Yeah. We're taking out much, if not all, the money. And of course, there's no guarantees here, but we're going to share with you our own experiences. So let me do that now. One of our properties we bought not so long ago up in Coventry was Bigley Hall Crescent and a three-bedroom terrace house. Again, quite a big house, but very tired-looking property. We did a complete refurb. We bought it for £140,000. Once we paid for stamp duty and legal fees and the deposit, there was a sort of £9,000 spent on that. The refurbishment itself, by ripping all apart and making it into five en suite, mm. was £58,500. So total cash in, including everything, all the legal, stamp duty, and of course the refurb, was £207,625. Now, as I mentioned, Steve and I don't put our own cash in. We raised finance, and we'll share with you how you can do that if that's right for you in a future episode. Mm. So we raised finance from an investor. We then put the cash in, we buy the property in our company, and then we do all the works. And on refinancing, this property was valued by a local commercial surveyor at £287,000.
£287,000?
It's not bad, is it?
Yeah, that's really good.
So we then remortgaged. We then remortgaged 75% of that new value, which meant the new mortgage was £215,000. We paid off the first mortgage and all the borrowing, which meant we actually made a profit of £7,600.
Happy
days! Yeah, yeah. And then we rented out and make over a grand net income after all costs. Nice. So there's different ways of doing it.
So the next favourite episode for me, I'm going to give you guys four, by the way. The second one for me is episode five. The reason I'm choosing episode five is it's because it's called, you know, basically, where is your goldmine area? I'm often asked at live events, on Zoom calls, in our mastermind sessions, on social media, you know, where do you start looking? People use this term goldmine area. And as a quick definition, a goldmine area is where you're going to focus your time and effort to find properties. Mm-hmm. And if that's you, if you're listening to this or watching this episode and not sure where to start, definitely check out episode five. To give you some insight into some of the things we talked about, it was things like, do you focus locally or go further afield? And we talked about some of the pros and cons of that as well. And also talking about if it's rent to HMO, keep it local. if you're buying, you could do local or you could go further afield. But some of the pros and cons and ramifications of the decision and the Goldman area that you choose.
If, for example, you want to just double check where you're thinking. So, if I was looking to set up a renter HMO business in Glasgow, I didn't necessarily know the different areas or boroughs of Glasgow. Mm. What can you do to try and speed up your local knowledge? Well, quite simply, go and speak to local estate agents and letting agents. Ask them for areas they would recommend you focus off your time and attention on. Just pose as someone looking to buy a property, even if you're doing rental and HMOs, and say, where do people want to live? And where would you also recommend you stay well clear from? Because in every town and city, there are good roads and bad roads. So ask the local expert where the good and the bad areas are. Mm-hmm. The second tip I would give, the HMO hack, go to local landlords. Find out where the local landlords are. Typically, experienced HMO landlords are clustered around certain areas for various reasons. We'll go into that in a later episode. So go and find out where they are. And you can get your HMO landlord list from your council website. Those will typically have the address of those properties, and you can just see where they are on your local map. And the third thing I'd suggest, the third HMO hack here, is go and ask your local HMO officer who works for the council. Say you're looking to invest in a new area, into an HMO in this area, ask them whether they would recommend you focus your time and attention. Again, they're a great source of local knowledge.
Third one. I'm often asked also, and so Stephen says Matt, but we're often asked, what can go wrong with HMOs? And we think, as you probably know, if you subscribe to this podcast, we think it's just as important to share with you what you should be doing. But I think it's as important, if not more important, to protect your income and your money, etc., to avoid some common pitfalls. So if you are worried about those things, then episode 37 is my third favorite episode. It's the 6 common pitfalls with HMOs. We talk about this from a perspective of rent to HMO. And we also talk about it from the perspective of obviously buying and then managing your own HMOs too. So if you want to know the good bits, but also the potential downsides, and then most importantly, how you can protect yourselves against those downsides, check out episode 37.
We always say the detail, the numbers are absolutely key, because deal analysis, in whichever way you do it, whether you're doing rent-to-rent HMOs to generate the income, or you're looking at opportunities to buy a property, convert to an HMO to make income and build equity, whichever of those two options, the decision has got to be made based on the numbers and on your deal analysis.
For sure.
There's no point going in with wishful thinking. There's no point going, I think, or estimate or guesstimate that I'm going to make a certain amount of money. You've got to be crystal clear what all the costs are, what your income can be, and then what your net profit is going to be. Mm. Because that's absolutely vital. And then, of course, you don't have this uncertainty or fear of, what am I going to make? Because you're going to know it before you commit to buying that property or taking it on as a rent-to-rent. So again, it's knowing your numbers, knowing what the costs are, knowing what the income is going to be, and then working out what your net profit is going
to
be.
And my final one, before I pass this on to my colleagues here, is episode 35. Because we talk a lot about systemizing. We talk a lot about what is the point in doing property, and HMOs in particular, if you're leading one busy lifestyle, such as full-time employment, for example, or you've got other commitments, and all you're doing is replacing one busy lifestyle for another, which is looking after and building a property business. So we talk a lot about systemization. We talk a lot about some of the do's and don'ts in systemizations, and also when you should get started. So if you are thinking about building and scaling an HMO business that serves you rather than you working hard in it, then definitely episode 35, which is all about systemizing your HMO businesses. And we do talk about it again from the perspective of rent to HMO, but also on buying and then renovating, refurbishing, and then managing your own HMO.
That's a great point. I haven't told you this before, Matt, or shared the story, but before Steve and I got our very first rent-to-rent HMO property, so early 2014, we met up with a guy that Steve knew from property circles who had he was very successful. He had a couple of letting agencies rather up in Nottingham. And because he was a mate of Steve's, he was great. He's very generous with his time. We spent a good couple of hours with him chatting away about how he runs his business and some of the learnings about the tips that he would give us. And he was saying when he first started, when he did some property training courses and then he was starting to do lettings, first of all, he had 120 properties being managed from himself in his bedroom, you know, on a spreadsheet. That was his, you know, single lettings business. Okay. And one of the tips to him was, you know, yeah, you can start employing people, but why not manage more first, get your experience up and running first, and then think about scaling. So one of the things that Steve and I did, we were very much hands-on for the first year before we started to properly systemize and properly build the business and start replacing ourselves with different people. It's funny because you, me and Steve did an HMO podcast episode, a bite-sized episode a couple of days ago, as we're dealing with the sort of COVID crisis. And one of the things that Steve admitted is that even though he's a systems guy, he loves systems, and he geeks out on all the stuff that had to be more efficient. Yeah. The irony, the great irony here, is that Steve is a self-confessed perfectionist. So he likes to be everything perfect and be in control. So even though I was the one in our business saying, we've got to get you out more, we've got to get you out, you're much more value than doing weekly house checks, for example. Mm. He got it. He absolutely agreed with the logic, but he couldn't bring himself to actually do it quicker than he actually did it. So I think you made a great point, Matt, which is do it from day one or do it now. If you've already got some properties, do it right now. The sooner you do this, the better and more resilient your business will be. The more profitable it can be if you do this well, and you can get your time back, which is much more important to many, many people.
How was that for a Whistle Stop Tour before Phase?
Yeah, mate, that was super quick, but it was really good. Obviously, as Jamie mentioned, the clips, you would have listened to them, the relevant bits that Jamie just pointed out, but also like revisit those episodes yourself and make sure you dig deeper. And get a real flavour as to why those episodes, those relevant clips are Jamie's favourite. So, now we've done Jamie. Steve, give us your best bits from the last 52 episodes.
Like Jamie, well, you had a lot of fun. I think my best bits were about Jamie's budgie smugglers back in the spring. And his time on Alternative Love Island, if I remember
right. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
Love Island.
Yeah. So, but he got me back with my seeds with Steve. So that's all fair in love and podcast. So being an operator, I think my a couple of best bits is around episode 25. We talk about rent collection because at the end of the day, it's kind of the reason why we do it, right? It's an investment for us. We have to get a return on investment. We don't get that return on investment unless we collect the rent in. And with today's sort of current economic environment, that's becoming much, much more important. So during that episode, we talked about a whole bunch of different things in terms of setting up your rent payments, checking to make sure the rent comes in, what to do if the rent doesn't come in, some systems and automation we talked about. So we're going to listen to a clip right now. So hopefully you enjoy that and get some further benefit. As Matt says, go back and check out the episode. It's so important if you've got HMOs right now or any type of investment property that you get the rent in. So let's listen to that clip and we'll see you on the other side.
But there's we then started to test some different sort of apps, and the one that I favour is an app called Go Cardless.
Yeah.
So this is a direct debit system whereby, as part of our check-in process, and we'll talk about the timings of when we ask for rent, perhaps in the next little bit of this episode. But as part of the check-in process, once we've accepted a customer, we get them to, we put them onto the Go Cardless app. It sends them a link.
Yeah.
They just click a little button, put in their payment details, and then it's set up.
Yeah, yeah.
The great thing is that if they cancel their direct debit, I get a little notification on my phone.
Yeah.
And we've had that a couple of times where we had a guy joined us and he paid his first rent all fine.
Yeah.
And then on the second one, I got a little notification on my phone saying the direct debit had been cancelled. So I called him up and said, hey Joe, I've just seen that you cancelled your direct debit. Is there any reason for that? And he went, oh, what do you mean? So I've just got a little notification on my phone to say you cancelled your direct debit. What's the problem?
I can see you.
Yeah. And he said, I did it by mistake. I said, okay, that can happen. No problem. I'm just about to send you a new link.
Yeah.
Can you click it for me whilst we're on the phone? Which he did. Yeah. And the whole thing was reactivated again. Nice. So like it was dealt with in like 1:30. Yeah. So
my next best clip was around house checks, because at the end of the day, it's providing that service to customers. If you're not checking to make sure that your properties are running smoothly, then it's going to do one of two things. Either it's going to cost you a lot more money because you're having to go back and do retrospective repairs. You're not sort of taking a pre-planned approach to it. Or you're going to upset your customers. And whilst we just talked about, and you just listened to the clips around rent collection, it's your customers that actually pay. So if your customers are not happy, there's a chance they may not pay. And so making sure that the house is in tip-top condition is probably a good and smart thing to do. And check out this clip. And
I have a prescribed list of things that generally tend to get checked on a regular basis.
Yeah, we do. Cool. So we have, I don't know the precise number, but it's about 11 things. Since Courtney's been working with us, she's actually added some bits on, so that's all cool.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the things that we will look at, and it just literally is your journey through the house. So we're looking at the front door.
Yeah.
Is the lock stiff? Does it work nice and smoothly? Mm. Because if that doesn't work nice and smoothly, the worst thing that can happen is someone turns the key and the key breaks in the lock. We're making sure that it, can be locked from the inside, and it's not been tampered with. We're looking to see if there's any sort of smashed glass around it, or if there's any evidence of forceful entry. And we won't. I mean, on that particular point, we've had a couple of stiff locks, and we've just gone and got them changed rather than letting them become an issue later on.
Yeah.
Because if the customers are coming home, particularly from night shift or they're working late, and you don't have a light on the outside, and they're trying to fumble around and put it, you're going to get a call the next day.
Yeah.
So then we're going into the hallway. We're checking the notice board to make sure that it's got all of the appropriate information. So, for example, a copy of the gas safe.
Yeah.
We put a copy of the EPC on there. Copy of the license, a copy of the landlord's insurance policy. We've got a fire log on there. They'll have other little bits and pieces, flyers from the takeaways and taxi services and all that.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure that that's not blocking the prescribed information that we feel that we should put on there.
Yeah.
Because if the HM officer comes around and we've got deli takeaway covered over the license, he's not going to be happy about that.
Yeah.
The other thing that you've got to make sure is that you, as a house manager or the HMO agent, you've got to have your contact details on that notice board.
Yeah, for sure.
So that if anyone needs to get hold of you, whether that be the police, ambulance, anyone that requires your information, you've got that information out there, and it's readily available.
Yeah.
So so then we're walking through, we're looking at the state of the cleanliness, and I think we're going to do another episode particularly about cleaning.
We are indeed.
That's so important.
Yeah.
And you've got tons of experience in that.
Loads of experience.
And as we're going through, we're looking at light bulbs. So our light bulbs working. We're going into the kitchen. We're turning the hot water on to see if we've got hot water.
Yeah.
Because that tells us that the boiler's functioning. If the boiler's functioning, then we're likely to get heating.
Yeah.
Because the heating probably won't be on at the time of day we go and do the checks.
Yeah.
In the communal areas, we're checking to make sure that the fire doors close smoothly, and the test that we do for that is we open the door, we let it close, and it should lock tight. So if you're then pushing it from the other side, it shouldn't open.
Okay.
Some of the times we've had a problem where it wouldn't sort of do that last sort of final catch onto the lock. And one of the things that we found is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the door, nothing wrong with the closer, but it is that it creates a vacuum. So if you're finding that, just try cracking the top sort of window or one of the windows, and if it then closes shut perfectly, then you don't have to go and change anything. So HMO.
HMO hack. HMO hack. Look at that.
I know.
Love that.
So then we're going into the kitchen. We're checking to make sure that the cleanliness is there. We are checking the refrigerators to see the state they're in, the oven, the state that that's in. Checking to make sure the extractors are working.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't got that, that's when a potential, particularly in the winter months, build up of mildew and moss. They're not moss.
Moss.
What should you call it? My blind.
Mold. Condensation.
If you've got moss in your kitchen,
unless you've got to be doing something completely wrong.
Unless it's Kate, of course.
Hello, Kate.
Yeah.
If you're listening, please leave us a message.
What up? So that's the extractor, making sure the extractor's working.
Yeah.
And then we go to the bathrooms, again, just checking general cleanliness, checking to make sure. Here's a new one.
Yeah.
So we had a problem with water pooling outside of a shower. And what had actually happened is that if you can close your eyes and picture a glass door, at the bottom of the door, it's got like a plastic or a rubber sort of seal.
Yeah.
And that had actually come off and we never spotted it. So again, that's pooling water. That can cause other potential issues. It could cause damp and rot of the skirting boards if it's nudged up against a skirting board. Again, in the bathrooms, we're checking the extractor to make sure the extractor's all working. And then we're going sort of outside of the house. So it's been a bit blowy of lately.
Yeah.
So we're looking at any dislodged tiles. We're looking to see if the TV aerial is still intact and still on the roof. And we're looking at sort of gutters and downpipes to make sure that nothing's checked there. And we have a little app that we use, and this is all logged in the app.
Yeah.
And as Courtney is going around and checking off the individual bits and pieces, then I'm getting notifications on my phones that these are being done. So I'm all in control, despite being here in Cambridge with you, having a wonderful time on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's amazing.
So that was all about house checks. I can see everyone smirking at me. So yeah, that's all about house checks. There's lots of other really cool information in there. So I do suggest that you go back and sort of periodically take a look at all of the episodes. But those were my two favourites. Matt, what was your favourite clips?
So my favourite clips, I've got three. The first starts with episode 4, where Jamie and I have a chat about the 11 steps that I've sort of broken down our rent-to-rent business into. So everything from, you know, sourcing property to offer negotiation to property onboarding, obviously, you know, getting the property set up, starting to market it, getting tenants, customers or housemates checked in, carrying out the property management side of things, and then eventually handing the property back, and also sort of landlord services in terms of how, you know, you look after the property and how you look after the landlord as well throughout the period of your rent-to-rent relationship. So it was really good to, you know, put that into context. And really episode 4 is kind of just a whistle-stop tour of those 11 steps. And then obviously in subsequent episodes, we go on to have a chat about, you know, most of those individual steps. So that was really super useful for me just to put that into context, and hopefully the listeners will find that handy too. So check out this bit.
I think just to expand on that a little bit as well, in terms of putting forward your proposal, you know, I think the one thing that I've learned is setting out the proposal with enough detail to alleviate a load of questions coming back.
Sure.
So we use an email template which we've developed over time, which, you know, covers everything from general points regarding the viewing, you know, any works that you feel that are required up front, obviously the term that you're proposing, the rent that you're proposing, you know, the type of housemates or the type of customers that you're looking to house within the property. And it also, you know, gives a detailed explanation about our company background. And it paints a much clearer picture to the agent or to the landlord about what you're aiming to achieve, and it justifies why you're offering the rental that you're offering and how you're going to look after their property going forward.
Cool.
That's certainly a template that you know, happy to share. So we'll put a link in the description, so it's something that you guys can use as a resource. But I think that has helped certainly from our proposal perspective, and just to add a lot of clarity and to reduce the number of questions or hurdles to overcome coming back.
Great. So that was episode 4. Yeah, if you've noticed, if you're watching on YouTube, we might have changed positions. I won't give you a clue as to why, But hopefully you enjoyed episode 4, which talks about the 11 steps for running your HMO property business. My second favorite clip was from episode 6. In this episode, we had a chat about the 3 best ways to find a HMO property. In this particular clip, I have a chat about Rightmove and how you should set up your Rightmove alerts, whether you get them daily, weekly, every 3 days, and also how you can define your search area on Rightmove so that you get notified about the right properties in the right areas. So hopefully you'll enjoy this clip too. If you want to get some more useful hacks and tips about how to find HMO properties, make sure you check out the whole episode. But this is my favorite clip from the episode 6, How to Find HMO Property. So
there's countless of platforms where you're going to be able to get access to finding either properties for rent to rent or properties to buy. And from my perspective, we generally use 4 or 5 platforms, so Rightmove, Zoopla, On the Market. I've started to use Facebook, Facebook groups, community groups in particular. Use OpenRent as well in UPAD, although there aren't that many properties listed in our area. And another one which Jamie told me a while ago was having a look on Spare Room, which surprisingly is quite useful for finding properties that are suitable for sharers, right? It's suitable for individual roomlets where landlords list them as whole properties. So once you've identified your goldmine area, I think we set up alerts for 3-bed properties and above. We obviously set the parameters in terms of the pricing. So after having carried out the research for our goldmine area, I know that anything over £3,000 a month is going to be too expensive and the numbers don't quite work, so we'll look for anything up to that amount of rent per calendar month. And then also making sure that you include the search areas within your search criteria. So at the moment we get daily updates because that enables you to keep on top of new listings that come on from time to time. I think Rightmove and Zoopla and On the Market, they all have daily updates. Facebook, not so much. You have to be a lot more proactive in terms of going into marketplace and the community groups in order to find the sort of properties that you want. Also with Spare Room, in my experience, you might tell me different. You don't necessarily get alerts for whole listed properties. So again, you have to be proactive in terms of spending time searching. You can set up search alerts for Gumtree. And I'll be honest, out of all of those options, OpenRent, you can do that as well. I'm not so sure with UPAD. I think you have to be proactive as well and make sure that you search every few days to see whether any new listings have gone up. The platforms that have been the most successful for me have certainly been Rightmove. In the main, you will have agents listings on Rightmove. With UPAD and OpenRent and Spare Room, you will more than likely get access direct to landlord. Mm-hmm. With Facebook Marketplace, I think Facebook introduced listings from On the Market and Rightmove and Zoopla into Marketplace as well. So you get a mixture of private and agents listings on there. And that's the same for Gumtree. So I think out of all those, definitely Rightmove for me is probably the top one. And then if I wanted to look for sort of more quirky listings, I'd certainly go to Gumtree, Facebook Marketplace, and Spare Room. But I think there's plenty of resources available to you, and it's just making sure that you utilize those resources regularly. And one thing, a process that we have set up in the business is we outsource the searching of the property and the updates to a virtual assistant. So they will sift through all of the email updates that we get from all the relevant platforms, and they'll stick it into a spreadsheet with details of bedrooms, bathrooms, where the property is located, the listing link, and the agent. And then once a week, We'll review that list and we'll say, look, you know, these are the properties that you should submit viewing inquiry to.
Yep.
And the process after that is, you know, the viewing inquiry gets sent out on a Monday. On a Tuesday, we'll follow up with a call. And on a Wednesday, we'll follow up with another email if we haven't heard back. And then by the end of the week, we'll recycle and review so that we go on to the next week. So that's certainly something. I know we mentioned outsourcing and leveraging you know, other resources to help free up your time. That's something that's helped free up our time. Although, you know, there are, as I mentioned, platforms where you do need to be a little bit more proactive to search. And it's just allocating time towards that because, you know, you're not always going to find the right properties, but when you do, that is when you really appreciate the value of taking time out and not dismissing those other avenues.
Cool. Hope you enjoyed that. Now, my last clip is from episode 19. And in this episode, we talked about advertising your room. So how to find potential tenants, customers, housemates, the best way to, you know, get your marketing sort of sorted out. So this particular clip, I have a chat about having a template for your spare room ad and for your open rent ad and for any other platform you advertise on, whether it's Facebook or Gumtree or any of the other plethoras like Ideal Housemate and Easy Roommate and all that kind of stuff. I don't know, there's a bunch. But having a template for your adverts and also having really good pictures. Having useful photos, obviously, of the room and the house, professional pics, dressed preferably. And if you do have a video tool, particularly now, like we're recording during lockdown 2.0, you know, it is vital, I think, now to have video tools more than it ever has been to help with marketing. That's not specifically covered, obviously, from a lockdown context in this episode. But I do mention getting the video tool set out. So check out this clip and make sure you head over to episode 19 to get the full flavor of the episode. Here we go.
London's a really competitive market. How do you advertise and market your rooms to get the best customers that you can? So following on from having great pictures and a video, we now have a well, we do two things. We've got a template for our advert, which I think has got 7 or 9 sections to it. So it's got an intro, just a summary bit as to why you would want to consider the house or room in the house. Then it's got details about the area, the facilities in the house itself, the sort of housemates that are there, the operational elements, so fortnightly cleaning and weekly inspections and that kind of stuff. The WhatsApp group, how you can book a viewing, a bit more about the transport links, and then we have, I think, a section on like local amenities, so leisure centre, coffee shop, supermarket, that type of stuff. And all of our adverts follow the same pattern or the same layout. So I think that is important to provide the viewer with as much information as possible, because pictures say one thing, but obviously words will give them a bit more of a description about what actually happens within the property. And I think, you know, if you'll know by having a look on Spare Room, some listings, aside from having not great pictures, will also have a very basic description: double room, wardrobe, chest of drawers, you know, in on Finchley Road, wherever it is, that's it. So I think it's important to give the viewer enough information for them to make a decision to be like, yeah, okay, all of these tick, you know, 7 out of 10 of my boxes, so let's get in contact and arrange a viewing. So that's really what the standard format, the template that we tend to follow for all of our room adverts. But like I say, it's good copy coupled with good photography.
All right, guys, hope you enjoyed that clip. And that kind of rounds up the best bits of the last 52 episodes as nominated or voted or decided on between Jamie, Steve and I. Hopefully you enjoyed those best bits. Make sure that if you enjoyed any or all or some of them, you check out the full episodes, whether it's on podcasts, on the YouTube channel, or on our Facebook page. But now we're going into the Q&A part of this episode. I know, Jamie, you've been super active on social in terms of getting some questions back from the community. So I'm going to hand this section over to you, and you can tell us the amazing questions that we've had back from watchers and listeners, and we'll do our best to answer them.
Cool. Thanks, Matt. Yeah, so we were inundated with lots of people asking questions that they wanted then for us to read out on this anniversary episode. So huge thank you from all of us for getting involved, reach out to us on social and putting your questions to us. Obviously, I can't read out all of them. I'm just going to read out a handful of them so you get a flavor of what people are looking for right now and what help they need. Mm. So the first question came in from Sheena. Hi, Sheena. I know you're a regular subscriber. Great to have you here. Thank you again for being a loyal listener and watcher of the podcast. And Sheena's question is this. I'm going to read it out. How do I ensure a house is compliant planning-wise? So we know that Sheena is looking to buy properties from that question. So primarily, this is the answer, Sheena. You go to your planning department. You can actually get in contact with them via your council website. If you are talking about doing change of use, i.e. converting, let's just say it's a residential house, a C3 planning category, into a C4, which is HMO, then you can apply for change of use on the planning portal of the council website. If you've got any questions there, again, they'll have their email and contact details and phone numbers, so you can always speak to a planning officer. If you need anything more complicated, such as going for full planning permission, again, you can do that, or you can literally leverage and outsource the expertise and knowledge and experience of somebody like a planning consultant, of course. And of course, you can probably go to also an architect to help you do that if you don't want to do it yourself. So that's the sort of change of use and the planning aspect. But yes, Sheena, as we always say, if you're ever in doubt, A, get in contact with us, so thank you for that, and B, then go and find out from the answer from your local council on all these issues. And again, they're generally pretty good at getting back to you relatively quickly. And of course, you can do, as you'll know, being a regular subscriber of this episode, that you can actually convert properties without full planning permission within certain requirements under something called permitted development. And we've mentioned that in various episodes in the past. Mm. So if you want to go back and listen to other episodes to go into more detail there, you can do that. So thanks, Sheena. Thanks for the question. That was really cool.
Yeah, nice.
The next question we got sent in, or I'm going to read out, is from Rose. And perhaps, Matt, you can help answer this one, please. Rose's question is, how do you find good rent-to-HMO opportunities with letting agents?
Okay. Good question. So the process that that we've sort of gone through over the last couple of years is just, you know, building relationships with agents. You will invariably from time to time see properties that are listed on Rightmove or Zoopla or on the market or wherever else you search for properties, which will have in their property description you know, this property's HMO license. And if you do, or as and when you do come across that type of listing, you will obviously recognize who the agent is that's listed that property, and then start, you know, build up a relationship with them. Start reaching out and saying, look, can I view this? You know, reach out on LinkedIn as well, saying, look, I understand that, you know, you have HMO properties on your books. You know, I'd like to have more of a conversation around those because these are the services that I can offer. But I will caveat that by saying, you know, those listings are a few and far between, certainly that I've come across, probably, you know, three or four in the last 2 years. The more meaningful route has just been, once you've identified your goldmine area, you know, just speaking with the agents that are in that area. You know, we now deal with probably half a dozen agents primarily in our goldmine area, Northwest London. And that has come through a process of elimination. So, you know, when we first started, I made a bunch of calls. And off the back of those calls, we kind of got a better idea as to, you know, those agents that were open to rent and those that weren't. And then it was just, you know, starting the conversation from there. Look, if you're open to it, do you currently have any HMO properties on your books? You know, do you have any that could be upcoming? Do you have any where landlords would be open to converting their properties to HMOs? And it's just, it's a process of elimination like that. It's not, you know, it's not a quick win necessarily. You're not immediately, you know, from day one when you contact an agent saying, look, this is the amazing service that I offer. Like, have you got anything available? They're not automatically going to go, yeah, we've got all of these. You know, it's a patience game. It's a consistency game. And I think, you know, the relationships that we have with agents, like I say, they've been fostered over the last couple of years. You know, first off, they were saying no. And then after a while, you know, with persistence and just being a bit of a fly in their ear, they would say, yeah, okay, like, we'll give you a chance. Here you go. And then from that, you know, you just build the relationship to a point now where, you know, done a few lives during lockdown and everything like that. We had agents contact us, which is a nice reversal of the situation. But that just comes with time and consistent effort. So I think that those two would be my my answer to that. Obviously, looking for listings that have got HMOs in their descriptions, but primarily just starting to build relationships with agents. You know, identify the relevant ones in your goldmine area. Speak with all of them. You'll get a few of them that will say no, but don't be disheartened by that first no. Keep asking them because, you know, especially right now, if they will invariably deal with landlords that will have a HMO property, which is difficult to rent right now. So it's prime time to, you know, be alive to opportunities that are out there.
Cool. Thank you, Matt. That was brilliant. Cool. And thank you, Rose, for sending your question. That was a great question. I think we'll help you, Matt's answer, but also lots of others listening and probably thinking the same thing. Now, I'm just reading up for my little list here. We got sent another question from Richard. Now, Richard says he has just bought his first HMO and he's almost finished the refurbishment and he's now ready to go and advertise the rooms. And the question is, what tips have you got to list and advertise my rooms so I get them filled quickly? Steve, do you mind if I put you in the hot seat if you can answer that for Richard, please?
Yeah, really important. Obviously, no customers, no income. So getting the advertising right to get the customers is massively important. First thing is obviously making sure that you've got some really good photography. People buy with their eyes. Mm-hmm. And that little window in spare room or whatever portal you decide to choose is your shop window. So if it's not looking attractive, then you're probably going to get passed by. What are some of the things not to do? Well, make sure the bed is, if you're going to take a picture of the actual room, make sure that it's not looking scruffy. So I've seen some horrendous pictures where it's just like a metal bed frame with a stained old mattress on it and it looks really rank. So making sure that the room is nice. We've just invested some more in sort of staging equipment. So we bought some like fake plants and, well, I mean, I don't know what it is if I'm completely honest with you. Courtney's done all that for us. But making sure that you have some little what I would call knickknacks or stuff that makes the room look like it's being lived in is really important. Obviously, it needs to be tidy. So if you're doing photographs of communal areas like kitchens or lounges or TV rooms or whatever you may have, dining rooms, make sure it's all laid up nicely. Again, as though someone might be living in it. You don't want to have pictures of someone's half-congealed curry in the middle of the photograph. So photographs are really important. Next bit is your headline. So whilst the photographs will draw the attention of the eye, the headline has got to be unique and different to everything else that's out there. Mm. You scroll down spare room and there'll be a whole bunch of double room available for rent or words on around that theme. You need to have something that's going to be completely different. We use parentheses. So these are like little icons or marks either side of the strap line. Again, it just happens as acts as a pattern interrupt. One of the things not to do, there's lots of little icons out there. Please don't put flames or fire or anything like that on it.
I do it, Steve. Explosions.
Explosions and flames around a house don't really sort of subliminally, they don't go together. But you might want to put like beer bottles or steins of beer or something party like house. That. If it's going to be a party house. Or just something to make that sort of pattern interrupt. Then you go down to the description. So when I was in agency, we used to put a lot of emphasis on bullet points, simply because we, back in the day, we thought that that was probably the best way to get information across. Subsequently, we found that bullet points tend not to work, because if you're trying to put yourself in the shoes of a customer, they are either in the town that you are at or they're going to be moving to. So you need to be sort of explaining why is your property better than anything else that might be on the marketplace. So this is your opportunity to put some good descriptive words in there. Make sure your grammar and your spelling is on point as well. There's a good little app called Grammarly. If you're a bit worried about your spelling or you're worried about your grammar, just stick it into Grammarly, push the button and it will auto-correct it all for you. Cut and paste it back into your online portal. But make sure that you're putting some rich language in there as to why someone should consider coming to live at your property. So we always start with a first paragraph to try and capture as many people as we possibly can. So it might go something like, are you living in, insert your town, currently, or are you looking to move to, insert your town? Are you changing job, or are you looking for somewhere better to live in, insert your town? So by putting those elements in there, someone reading that will go, actually, yeah, I am in a crappy HMO and I do want to live somewhere else. So that appeals to me. Or, yeah, I am living in Bedford, but I'm looking for something better. Or I am living in, insert your town. I gave away where we were.
I think after 52 episodes, they know we're in Bedford, London, probably insert your town.
Well, either that or they're going to go on to Rightmove and put insert your town and find out that it's in Iceland or somewhere. But yeah, it's putting some text in to appeal to as many people as possible. Then in the next paragraph down, we're talking about why our property is a better option or something they consider. Then we go into a bit about the room, sort of what's included, what's not included. We also include things. We do a survey every year to find out what our customers want. And the things that constantly come back from our customers is they want a good night's sleep. So we mention about semi-orthopedic mattresses. They want to live with like-minded individuals. So we'll talk a little bit about who is in the house currently and the types of professions and the age ranges that they do. And the reason why we go into that detail is because when someone is looking through your advert, it's going to be offering them much more information than most of the competition, I can guarantee you that. But it also means that the expectation has been set as to what they're going to be getting into. So when you have that sort of initial first conversation, you're not having to go through a whole bunch of what are you looking for, because they've already pre-qualified themselves by responding to your advert. And then the most important thing is once they do respond to your advert, you've got to get back to them really quickly and just reconfirm what it is they're looking for and then get that viewing. Because once you've got that viewing, then you've got an opportunity to sell. If you're starting to get no inquiries, then you need to go back and dissect your ad and look to see what you need to change there. Mm. If you're getting inquiries but not moving it to viewings, then there's something happening in that process that's either you're not inviting them or you're not asking them or you're not taking that extra step to get them to the property. And if you're getting loads of viewings but not selling, then either there's something wrong with your sales pitch or there's something wrong with the property. So you can dissect from the results that you're getting from your initial advert as to where it is either succeeding or failing in that sales process.
Cool. Thank you, Steve. Nice. very comprehensive answer. Loads of tips there for Richard. That's amazing.
Insert your town.
Inserteyourtown.com.
Yeah,
by that URL now.
If you got one of our templates, just make sure you take out insert your town and put your.
Now, guys, I'm going to wrap this bit up with the final question I'm going to read out. This is a question from another one of our subscribers, and this is Sandeep. So thank you again, Sandeep, on behalf of us, to you for putting your question in. And Sandeep says, I haven't bought an HMO yet. I like the idea of buying something bigger to convert and adding more bedrooms and en-suites, but I think that's a bit too far for me at the moment. I'm much more comfortable doing a smaller project like a mini-mo. And his question is, how do I find properties suitable for mini-mos? So let me just quickly jump into that, if I may. Mini-mos, for those who haven't heard the term before, again, is a completely made-up property trading term, which means a small HMO. Three or more unrelated people, it probably means it's actually got four people. And a mini-mo you often see on the likes of social media are smaller projects that people are buying to generate great cash flow. So they might be getting a three-bedroom terraced house, for example, and converting one of the rooms downstairs to a fourth bedroom. Or they might be getting a three-bedroom, you know, semi-detached house and converting it as two rooms downstairs, one of those again, to an HMO bedroom. So that's typically in a whistle-stop definition of what mini-mos are when people refer to this. So Sandeep, in terms of how to find these things, quite frankly, because they're smaller properties and you're using the strategy to add maybe one more bedroom to maximize income, then you could probably buy, subject to you knowing the room size requirements as a minimum in your area, and you know how to do that because we've talked about that on previous podcast episodes. But once you know what the minimum room sizes are for a bedroom and you know what the minimum room size is for the kitchen or any communal areas, then you're simply finding a property that fits those criteria and is within your price budget. So for example, you could probably buy, you know, any three bedroom house in your area. And because you're adding another bedroom and you might be, you know, doing a very minor refurb like new kitchen, new bathroom, flooring, painting, it might cost you significantly less, or it should cost you significantly less to some of the projects that we've shared that we do ourselves by adding extra bedrooms and extra ensuite bathrooms in every bedroom. So hopefully that helps. In terms of how to find them, obviously you can do direct to vendor marketing, letters, leaflets, etc. Or of course you can go to estate agents. You know, they have the majority of the market, the properties in the market, so why not go there? So hopefully, Sandy, that gives you a few pointers. Try not to overcomplicate it. Think about your price point, think about what your minimum room sizes are, and find properties that match your criteria, and then you can't go too far wrong. But if you've got any more questions, again, you're a subscriber of the podcast, don't forget to send more questions in, either if you watch us on YouTube or, of course, on our usual podcast channels. And, of course, also contact us on our Facebook group too and website. So just any more questions, just ask away.
Nice.
All right, guys, those are all the questions I'm going to read out today. And thank you again for all of your answers. Matt, I think it's over to you.
Yeah, so we have come to the final section of this anniversary edition of the podcast. As I mentioned right at the outset, we're giving stuff away. Free stuff, as a big fat thank you for you guys supporting us for the last 52 episodes and for tuning into this episode. So two different things for you to be aware of. First off, we're giving away like an anniversary bundle of free resources. So in order to take advantage of or to receive those free resources, we need you to head over to our YouTube channel. So go to YouTube, type in the HMO Experience Property Podcast. When that pops up, click on the subscribe button. That way we get your email address. Once we have your email address, we can send you an anniversary bundle, which includes the 11 steps to running a successful HMO property business, obviously finding and funding your first HMO property, and some additional bits and pieces, which will be a surprise, obviously, once that email hits your inbox. So in order to take advantage...
Is that going to include champagne, Matt, champagne and cake?
So if we can send those digitally, yes. We'll include some emojis in the headers,
okay, emojis.
No fires, no fire, but we will include champagne bottle emojis and some cake emojis. So at least, you know, it feels more celebratory. but yeah, if you head over to YouTube channel, press subscribe. This offer is going to be open and available to you from today. So from the day the podcast episode is published up until Sunday, because we have episode 54 going live a week today. So in order to take advantage of the anniversary bundle, head over to YouTube at any stage throughout this week. Obviously, you're listening now, so why don't you do it now? Do it now? Yeah, you're doing it now. Okay, well done. we'll get your email address. We'll send you the anniversary bundle. However, the even bigger free giveaway is this. Jamie, do you want to explain to the guys what the even bigger giveaway is?
Yes. So, for five people, five lucky winners, Matt, myself, and Steve are going to give five people the chance to have a free mastermind session, group mastermind session with us. So what does that mean? That means that five people that, or the first five people that we draw out of a hat, a digital metaphorical hat, who literally communicates with us and proves they've subscribed to the HMO Experience podcast and sends us their details. Matt, how do you want those details to be sent to us?
So, two very easy steps. First, obviously, whatever podcast platform you listen to, make sure you hit subscribe, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Podbean, all those kind of ones. Hit subscribe. Take a screenshot of your subscription and post it to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page.
Cool.
That's what you need to do.
Excellent. Thank you. So, five people. The first five people who do exactly what Matt just said and send that proof over to our HMO Experience Podcast Facebook page will be drawn out of a hat, and we will be announcing in 3 days' time the first five to do so. Lucky winners. Those five people will be sent details to join us on a free group mastermind session with the five of you and Steve, Matt, and myself. We'll spend an hour together on that Zoom call, going through any challenges or issues or answering any questions you have. You can dig into anything that we've covered over the last 52 weeks worth of episodes and now 53 weeks of episodes. If you've got any questions, challenges, things you need help with, again, you will get an hour's worth of our time. Not to be too salesy about it, but just to put this into perspective, when people come and spend money with us and spend time with us on our mastermind, each one of those hour calls is worth £600. So we're going to give away five of those. So we're £3,000 worth to five of you who join us in that competition. So just another thank you on behalf of us to you for being a regular listener and hopefully now a subscriber of the HMO Experience podcast. So go and check that out now. Send us your proof and we can't wait to see you soon on our mastermind session.
Yeah, guys, do that. Do that now before we forget. So just to recap, screenshot of your subscription on whatever podcast platform you're listening to us on. Post it to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page. We will be announcing Wednesday, 1 p.m., Facebook Live, the five people who are going to be joining us on that call. So don't delay, guys. Obviously, you've got 48 hours or three days, theoretically, because Monday to Wednesday is 3 days. But 48 hours, like, we're going to put some time pressure on you. Send us in your screenshots. Looking forward to announcing the five who are going to join us on the call. And then obviously, once that announcement has gone live, we'll send you over the details as to when and where and how. Well, we know where. It's going to be on Zoom. But how, you know, when, that's what you'll find out afterwards. So hopefully you take advantage of both of those opportunities. It'd be really cool. We are going to wrap up this episode. Now, if you have been listening to the previous, I think it's probably introduced over the last 20, maybe 25 episodes, two endings to the podcast. We have Steve's final word and Jamie's last comment. So we should have run a competition on this as to who's going to end the anniversary show, but we're going to do this. We're going to have them both sign off. I'm going to shut up. Like, this is me signing out. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening to episode 53 of the HMO Experience Property Podcast. Please take advantage of YouTube and podcast subscription, post it onto our Facebook page. I'm going to hand you over to Steve for Steve's last word first. And then Jamie will sign us off with hashtag JLC, Jamie's last comment. Bye, guys.
I think my last word is invest in a decent pair of headphones.
We should have qualified this. For those of you not watching this on YouTube, we should have said right at the beginning of the episode, you've got to go onto YouTube. You've got to see what Steve's wearing. It's like something out of, I'm not sure, Mork and Mindy from the 1960s. But anyway.
I look like the archetypal football commentator with my boom and microphone and my big old headphones. Anyway, I could be like a rapper maybe. I don't know.
Not with those, mate.
No, don't do that.
A helicopter pilot.
I could be an air traffic controller or something. Anyway, Steve's last words. And I think it's, as we're sort of coming up to Christmas and New Year and New You and all that type of stuff, I think it's a really good time to reflect on sort of where you are in your property journey, or if you're not into property yet, how you want to do that. Because the world is changing right now. It's in a state of flux on a number of different levels, and I think that is the sign of things to come. My personal philosophy is that the government's, whilst it's looking after us at the moment, is not going to look after us forever. And therefore, you need to make your own decisions about how you are going to either generate your income or provide for your family, or even generate more income to give you more choices in this world. Investment is one way of doing that, and I think as certainly I come up to the new year, I'm going to be doing a lot of reflection as to how I'm going to smash next year and where are the opportunities, because in times of uncertainty, opportunities are always there. You just need to spot where the opportunities are and then get yourself organized to take advantage of those opportunities. So my last word is reflect, plan, and execute.
I'm not sure I want to follow that. I can't follow that, Steve. That was too good. Okay, so Jamie's last words, hashtag JLC. Thanks, Matt, for that. Monica, that's cool. So, yeah, Jamie's last words, nothing as profound as Steve, or probably useful, as Steve just said. But what I will say is the last year has been a lot of fun. We love doing these podcast episodes. We do this to try and reach out to, speak to and reach and see as many people as possible. And we genuinely love doing it. Hopefully that comes across. So what about the next 12 months? So who knows what's happening in the next 12 months from a property or market conditions point of view. But here's what I will know. I will know that Steve and I and Matt will always be here putting out this new content. We're being asked more and more by more people to produce more content, to look at maybe some case studies, to do lots more interviews with other guests. And our commitment to you is we will be producing great quality content week in, week out, and taking on board some of your feedback and suggestions to give more value to you, to those of you who subscribe to this podcast. We've got loads of great stuff coming up. So if you haven't already subscribed to the HMO Experience podcast, what are you waiting for? Matt's given you some great suggestions and incentives and prizes today to go and do that. But most importantly, as Steve was saying, think about how you can use some of this content to make an informed decision whether you want to go down the HMO route to build your income and long-term property wealth. That's why we do this. That's why we build up these businesses and why we try and help other people too. And if you've heard anything over the last year that's been a benefit to you and you want to take use of that, you've got our contact details. Reach out, subscribe to this podcast, because we firmly believe we want to help as many people as possible. When Steve, myself, and Matt started doing this, we had a vision to help 2022 new property investors generate life-changing and long-term property wealth themselves and their families by the year 2022. Just over a year away from that now, so we've got to get cracking. So please, if you like this podcast, if you subscribe to this podcast, if you think it could help other people too, I would love you to share and recommend it to other people too and leave us a review. So that's it for me. Jamie's last words. Thank you for the last year. Really looking forward to the next 12 months. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, guys. Really appreciate you tuning in. Before you head off, I'd like to ask you to do three things. The first thing is head over to Amazon and buy the HMO Blueprint, which is Jamie's new book that was published on the 26th of October. You can find the link in the show description. The second thing is, whatever podcast platform you're listening to right now, make sure you hit the subscribe button so that you get weekly notifications as to when new episodes of the podcast drop. And the third thing is, head over to the HMO Experience Property Podcast Facebook page. Make sure you click that like button so that you get notified when we drop bonus content such as the HMO Diaries and the Friday Finance Takeover. That's it. See you next week.